So we did the Mishnah, and we're now up to the Gemara that's discussing the din of Karachat. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Karachat HaKeren, who Kerem Shecharav. By the way, I'm JJ. And don't be concerned for a couple of, you know, for a couple of days or weeks or something. Nothing makes any sense. I mean, you're coming in the middle of, you know, like wild stuff. So, no problem. You're not that much worse off than anyone else. You know. So the case of Karachat HaKerem, remember that what we had in the Mishnah was Machlokes Bechamei Betilel about Karachat HaKerem and the Machlokes Bechamei Betilel about Mechol HaKerem. So the case of Karachat HaKerem, as it says over here in the Mishnah says, what exactly do we mean by Karachat HaKerem? Ezoi Karachat HaKerem. Kerem Shecharav Miyamsa'o. It means a vineyard that was now, was ruined in the middle. We had the oak or the vines in the middle. And then we had a Machlokes, what kind of area we would need in order to put in some other type of agricultural growth besides vines. So if we don't have a big enough space, then clearly we have a problem of colliding. The question was, do you need 24 amas, do you need 16 amas, depending on Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Karachat HaKerem, Hu Kerem Shecharav. There's really no difference. As we say over here, Kerem Shecharav Me'en Tsa'o, that is called Karachat HaKerem. And there's really no difference between them. Now we'll see, initially, if the Kerem is created in this fashion, there may be differences. Karachat HaKerem, Makrifin Oto Me'en Tsa'o, Kerem Shecharav, Makrifin Oto Mikot Tzadav. Even though later on in the Mishnayot, we're going to have reference to the Kerem Shecharav, and I'm sure you're wondering, why do we at times refer to a Kerem Shecharav and at times to a Karachat HaKerem, says Rav, if I'm telling you it's the same thing. The only question is the shape over here. A Karachat HaKerem is surrounded on all four sides. Therefore, we call it a Karachat in the middle of a Kerem. A Kerem that we have, a Kerem Shecharav, over there, it's Makrishina Tomikot Sadav. Over there, it means that we took off the areas, the vines from around it, so it doesn't have a Kerem on all four sides, and there we'll see the differences, what that would imply. Over at the Yossi, Buhu Sheba Mimata Kerem Gadol. When you're talking about over here, Karachat HaKerem, you have to have started with a vineyard that was large enough to leave, even after your Chorav, the middle part of it, that you should have the shiur of a Kerem on either side. And the shiur of a Kerem, we know, are two rows of two vines apiece, plus an additional vine that is added to one of the rows that we'll talk about in the middle, we'll talk about later on. So we have three and two is the classic shape of a Kerem. And because otherwise, you wouldn't call it Karachat HaKerem, even if you started with a vineyard, and now you were mekareach the area in the middle, if you're not left on all sides with a Kerem, then you don't have a Karachat HaKerem. At that point, once I would destroy even the Kerem, so then we couldn't have called it a Karachat HaKerem. I believe Bami Matak Kerem Katon and the Karachat HaKerem. Once the Kareva, the middle piece, destroys the Kerem around it, then you treat whatever vines are left as individual vines, and individual vines only require six tefachim. They don't require this gigantic space between them, which is predicated on first defining sufficient area in the middle to be a field of itself, which is either 4 by 4 or 8 by 8, according to Beit Shammai, plus an additional 4 amos between the edge of this area and the adjacent vines. Here, you would only need to make sure that you're not within 6 tefachim. That's all. But if you start with a Kerem Katon, you'll never have a Karachat HaKerem. The Tanina, and in fact, the Brisa makes this very clear. Ezel Karachat HaKerem, Kerem Shecharav Miyamsa'o V'nishtayer Bo Kidei Kerem. But of course, it needed still to be left a side of a Kerem. Bein Mi'ar Baruchot, Bein Mi'Shalosh, Bein Mi'Shtayer, Zuken Egedzo. whether we're talking about on all four sides, or we're talking about on three sides, or whether we're talking about on two sides, and then you have the two sides facing each other, which would still make the demand of the Harkakra four on either side and eight in the middle. So, hey, Avida, here's how to conceptualize the case. Start off with five rows. Hameshul Mishava Shava. So start off with five rows of seven. Okay? Now, what you want to do is take out now a carom. In this case, when you're removing a carom, it means three vines. Let's take out the large shear of the carom. Take out a carom from the middle. Okay? Let's take a look, by the way, at the pictures over here, just set up, or else you can draw yourself the correct number of rows and vines. So here we are. We have seven here, five rows of seven vines. Okay? So the number I am here. Five rows of seven vines. Take out the middle row. Can I borrow your pen? Take out the middle row, one carom. Again, carom in this context means three vines. So take out the middle three vines. No matter how you look at the remaining vine, wherever you look, you have a carom. Because you have a carom here, three and one. You have a carom here, I mean three and two. Carom here, three and two. Carom here, three and two. A carom here, three and two, right? So no matter how you split it, you have a carom. If you take out the second row of vines, okay, you take out the row above it, so then you have on three rows a carom. On three sides you have a carom, but you took out this area over here, this is not a carom anymore. You have three and two. You have a middle piece over here without a carom. If you took out three rows, then you end up with a carom only on two sides. So this would be the way to look at it. Now, to put it very simply, when you start and you take out only one row, you end up with three areas between the rows that are remaining. One area, obviously, being a lot larger than the other one. So you start off, and the reason I'm saying this is because we're going to talk about it in a moment, right? So you have one, two, three. This is purely for graphical purposes. It makes no sense to be lived in. We're just trying to refer to, you should get a sense of what's happening. So since you have three areas that are divided by vines in rows, one is a larger area, one is a smaller area. The moment you took out your second one, in picture I am Zion, you only have two rows. One very large and one very small. The moment you took out all three, you only have one row. A very large, single, empty area between the two. Okay? This is just so that if you don't have a picture, you should know what it is that you're looking at. Now, getting back to the discussion is describing it graphically over here. So therefore, Nasav, when you took out your first one, Nasav Katrami.
This is four also.
Hmm?
This is four. Take four.
It makes no difference. We're just trying to, you know, you could say anything. It doesn't matter. So when you do this, now you take out your first one, Nasav Katrami. So what's left? So you're left with Kigitav Akramim, with Lata Benayim. You have three middle spaces, and you have four Kramim, meaning a Karam on all sides. Nasab Kat Koran, you now take out yet another three vines, okay? So now you've got three Kramim left, and only two rows between them in the middle. One large and one small. Nasab Kat Koran, you take out your third row from the middle of three, so now you're left with two Kramim, one on either side, and this should be changed to the chad, as the Parnim Yeros does. This is the chad benayim, and you're left with one large space between the two remaining rows on either side. Okay. Now Kahana Amar, the Kahana says kitchilat mata'ato osimato. When the Mishnah says over here, what's a karafat hakerem? Kerem shkorem amsa'o. It makes absolutely no difference. Don't get confused because we know there were shittas before that we're talking about Kloy Zroyim, about uprooting the onions. There's no difference between uprooting something that was there or planting it this way in the first place. Now, then you should not get confused about that issue. So when it says Chorav Me'emso, it would have been exactly the same if you would have initially planted it in that shape, leaving a karachet, you would have needed exactly the same 24 amas according to Beit Shammai Because Beit Shammai Omrim Chilat Matato 24, B'Churbano 24. I don't care whether you started it this way, but the bottom line is that the impact that's left of the graphic that we have of an area that's surrounded demands a space of 24 amas by 24 in order for it to be sufficiently delineated as separate from the vines around it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, no, actually that's not true. Beit Shammai Machmirin B'Churbano Yoter Mimata'ato. Once something has been established as a Kerem, uprooting it in the middle requires greater distancing than having planted it initially in this fashion so it never was determined to be a Kerem in the middle. Chilat Mata'ato Sheikhasrei Churbano Esrim V'Arba. Actually, Beit Shammai would have been moda that if you started out in this fashion, then you left initially a mokum kosher of 8x8, which is generally the shear of the size of a kosher area in the middle of the kerem, because the kerem itself is 8. So therefore, he would have been moda that if you have 8 in the middle and 4 on all sides, that gives you the distance, the proper distance from the kerem, the vine to the kerem on the sides, that that's enough, which is what Beit Hillel does hold, by the way, even if it's a karakata kerem. He's only being machmir to say, having established this as a kerem, you now need to be able to look on all sides and say, there's 8 amas plus the harchaka, which means that you require 16 amas in the middle and 4 on all sides, which gives us about 24. That's what happens over here. So are you essentially saying that, I mean, what it boils down to, or it certainly looks this way, that kol ha-dvarim b'shamayim osifin shlish? I mean, it's like whether it comes to a machal or if it comes to a karakat ha-kerem, somehow or other, it's always 50% more, which is one-third in Gemara terms, right? Shlish milabar, meaning the total amount, the 33% is 50% of the initial amount. So is that what you're saying? In other words, if Beit Shammai says 12, so then he'll say 18. Is that it? If Beit Shammai says 16, he'll say 24. Is that what we're saying? So Mechol HaKerem, according to Beit Shammai, is 18. According to Beit Hillel, is 12. The Karakat HaKerem is 16, according to Beit Hillel. And then Beit Shammai adds another 50%, and he brings it up to 24. That seems to be what's going on over here. Do we need to address each case on its merits? Wait a minute, but I mean, what about the Mechol HaKerem, Beit Shammai Omrim Sheshesrei Amah, Beit Hillel Omrim Shemesrei Amah? Obviously, no. Mechol HaKerem is not. It doesn't follow this at all. You're wrong. Because if it were simply a matter of 50% more, then it would have been the way you said it, Beit Shammai 18, but it's not what it says. It says in the Mishnah, Beit Shammai says 16, and Beit Hillel says 12. Yeah, but so what? There are those who want to say that that's because Shemi Hamar Bala Avuda. First, you have to take the 4 amos that are met right up against the gader. Actually, they don't fall into the area of the empty space here at all, because you don't plant in that area. The 4 amos close to the gader are not suitable for planting a kerem, because you need to be able to work on the kerem on the other side. So you'll never back it up against the wall anyway. So they don't get into the cheshbon in the first place, right? Rebbe Klal not included. So really what we have over here is 12 according to Beit Shammai, excluding those 4, and 8 according to Beit Hillel, excluding those 4, which happens to be exactly 50% more. So if you exclude those 4, so then it works out perfectly well, right? Because Nimtu, Shemesrei, I'll back to the Beit Shammai, and Shemona, I'll back to the Beit Hillel. And lo and behold, it fits exactly what we were saying. It's just that we're not going to include the 4 that I'm not planting anyway in that cheshbon. So now, the Avodat HaGefen itself, where all along we assume that the area that we set aside for the Geffen is always 4 amas. Now, if what you're saying is true, that according to Beit Shammai we jump by 50%, then that means that according to Beit Shammai, the Avodah of the Geffen itself, which is the fundamental unit that we use over here for all of these cheshbonim, So then that fundamental unit is up by 50%, right? So then would you be saying that Avodata Geffen, Adaita Beit Shammai, you have to take off the Shmonam, if that's what Rav says here. The Grah removes all of this thing up to the end, up to the word Hillel. Right? So Adaita Beit Shammai is Sheish Amot, perfectly reasonable, right? That would mean that the given of four Amos is really six Amos going to Beit Shammai. But wait a second, that also doesn't add up. Because a Tanina in the Brisa says, Lefichach HaZoreya Arba Amos Shebeterem, Beit Shammai Omrim Kidei Shura Achad, Beit Hillel Omrim Kidei Shtei Shurot. But we're going to see that Machlokas later on, because there's a Machlokas Shammai and Hillel about a row, whether there's such a thing as a Kerem in a row of five, or whether only if it's backed against the getter, it's called an orange, but that's not the proper shape of a Kerem. There's a question over there how much you would offer if you plant next to such a thing. But what's important to us isn't that. What's important to us is the word Arba Amot Shebekerem. Where Beit Shammai says, Kidei Shura Achad, what is Arba Amot? Arba Amot, isn't it? You just said it's Sheish Amot. Why didn't Beit Shammai say, no, Sheish Amot Shebekerem? Because that's, according to that's the Shiur of the Avodah. Right? So then how does that work? Beit Hillel means Kidei Shtei Shura. So, that doesn't fit anymore. Well, Neymar began Beit Hillel to Beit Hillel. I mean, maybe it's not that Beit Shammai itself holds that you need four. Actually, he would have said six. But since over there the argument was about the shear of a Kerem, that's what we're talking about. So what Beit Shammai might have been saying is, excuse me, Beit Hillel, but in this case, which he's a Kerem, of course, in this case, four Amot should offer only one Shura, not two. So for whatever, again, we'll see there, but he wasn't talking about the shear of Avodah, Lashitat Ho, he was talking about Lashitat Chem, that the shear of Avodah is four, then the din ought to be that it is one shear. Yeah, but no, that doesn't work either, because it says also in the Mishnah, Ezehu Aviv, Hanotea Shura Shokhavesh Gepanim. So you know, later on we're going to have a discussion of this concept which we already brought up earlier, of an idea called an Ari. Okay? And what exactly is an Ari? It's a row not shaped in the normal shape of a Kerem. It's a row which has a getter behind it. So that is like a trellis, group of trellises, which gets the chashivas of a Kerem. Now, the problem is that it also says over there, Beit Shammai Omrim Modedim Arba Amot Mi'ikar Gepanim. The question over there, where do you start the four Amot? So Beit Shammai says you started from the roots of the clones, of the vines, right? But I thought four Amot isn't even a shir, I'll leave it to Beit Shammai. And over there they weren't talking to Beit Hillel. They were saying what they hold is the shir of Achoka for an Ari. How do you get four Amot? Well, they're different. Shani, over there is different. Why? Because as Rish Lakish explained, the Omer of Shem Ben Lakish, the Arit HaMe'ukam Shani. What we're talking about over there is where the vines were not in a straight row, but where there was a variant of two Amos in the planting. In other words, you have one here, the one juts out of it, then the other one goes back. So it looks more like a zigzag row rather than a straight row. In which case, since the zigzag affects the total shear by the 50%, so Ayadei Akima, the zigzag itself, is Bolea, the extra 2 ounces. So Tarte Mitzvahim, so if I start 4 amas from the outside of the zigzag, I'm within 6 amas of the inside of the zigzag, which means that when Beit Shammai says 4, what he really means is I would offer any of these vines up till 6. So that part could work out fine. Five. Yeah. Getting back to the din that we said, if you have the gader, so it says over there, a mechol hakerem. What is a mechol? Well, we have the area between the kerem and the gader. So there, you might have thought that the definition between the Kerem and the Gader is where there's absolutely no access because you're stuck between a solid fence and a Gader. But certainly, I mean, something I mean, and the mind. It's something that the sense itself isn't solid. There's openings between the sense. So how is that like really in the pizza in terms of the line? Certainly it's not an agricultural pizza. I mean, things can go through it, plants can go through it, and you can go in and out too, and you know, stick your hands to the over the carom and so on. But there's the Gemara, well, it's still stuff I got there. It doesn't really mean a solid wall. And a few of those are passing. You may make part of the Shloshah Pachim, you don't need to go there. You can make a lovely wall. And as long as you don't have three talking between each pot. It means you take a pole, bang the pole to the ground, then within three tefachim, you bang another pole into the ground. So the thing is, as long as it's within three tefachim, it's lavud. So technically, it's viewed as a single wall. And not only that, you know what? A few come out, a few kashim. Even if you're talking about other types of growth, let's say you have a field of tefuah, and that field of tefuah is solid grain. Goes straight across, where it's kosh, it's the straw of the grain. That's also considered to be a gadir, and that will create the area of the mechol, in other words, around it. But even though it may well be, as we're talking about over here, where originally the karen had gotten up to the gadir. It may well be that these things were themselves also already. It's Kalaya Karen. They have no right to be there. But there's two separate issues that are involved over here. They may have been also. But now this part with the Kurahat, they still create a Gadara. And therefore we look at this area as distancing not from single vines, but from its actual part of the Karen itself. Because here, everybody agrees that delineation is the essence, and the concept that we have in the Yerushalmi of Chavisha, in which we delimit the field, and that creates the Yisr of Kelayim. Certainly over here by the Dinim of Mecholot and Karachot, everybody agrees that the entire issue is delineation. So once the field is delineated, despite the fact that the Getter itself is Osir, who cares? This is a different issue. By the way, we even saw before that you can delineate yourself out of existence, right? In the case of the guma, we're going to put four things on the edge of the guma, and those four things define the guma for themselves, and they just blew themselves up. Because in now making this a single area, they all become us to the Gazakalayim. So this concept is not a new one to us. So therefore, afilu kama, afilu kashim, are considered to be a nechita. They create an isra in this entire area, despite the fact that they themselves became also because of the way I care. So Ashikad Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ein Ha'asor Na'asem Mitzala Hatzil. What this seems to be going over here, like what Rabbi Chanina says, that something that is isra. So you have over here, like we had the case of the grain over here that's at the edge of the Karen. And they became Osir already, the Kalayim. They do not...
Nasya.
Okay. That's the Yerushalmi's word, Kiyah.
Nasya.
As thus. As you say, it's the Yerushalmi equivalent of the word Chof Hei Olive in the Bible. So he was saying that something that is Zorua, and now it became Osir as Kaloya Karen. Those things become now a mechitza, even though, so in other words, now that they themselves would be maybe a mechitza and there's something is on the other side, but once they themselves become usher, they cannot save things to be matzel them on the other side, but they can be a mechitza to create an isser on the side between them and the carrot. The sovereign Neymar is not the Mechitza Lei Aser. In other words, what that implies is that although something Aser can't be a Mechitza now, so let's say we had a field of Tua, and this field of Tua was right up against the Karen. The field of Tua became Aser because of that. Now we're Oker the Tua, leaving a row of Tua to act as a Mechitza, and on the other side we'll plant vegetables straight up to the putative wall. If it would have been a real wall, it would have been mutter. But what Rabbi Chanina is saying, that thing is not a real wall, and it itself is defined as Isser of Kalei HaKarim. So therefore, you can't view it as something as mafik between the Karim. It's part of the Kalei HaKarim. Therefore, it can't be a machitza to be mopsik for vegetables on the other side. But it could certainly act as a graphic wall to define the area between itself and the kerem. That's not a problem. So that area is indeed defined as a mechol hakerem because of the machitza here. Because the machitza locks it in to its shape. So this is the das of Rebbe Hanina. If you want to, we can look at the pictures, I guess. I don't know what they would add. I can't even see them on these things. I get very confused.
Even though you have a mechol hakerem, it doesn't mean that it separates what's going to be on the other side of the wall.
That's right. What? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if I kind of, I find the pictures take me more, much more time to understand them than bring them up. Fine. Now, I'll die saying, the Rabbi Yehuda, from Rabbi Hanina, we're assuming that in the case where something is other, so that is the thing, still acts as a mechitza, because what he concentrated on saying was only that it's enes and not a mechitza la'atil, not that, but it is not a mechitza to offer, right? But I'll die to Rabbi Yehuda. Remember that, what did Rabbi Yehuda say in our mission? Rabbi Yehuda said in the mission, oh, that's not a mechol hakerem that has a mechitza around it. A mechol hakerem is dafka, says Rabbi Yehuda, ain't they all together hakerem. A mechol hakerem is the area between two kramim. So now, according to him, that would imply that asa kibetol hakerem. That is, he says that a mechol hakerem is essentially what we were calling a karakat hakerem, right? Because he's saying it goes between two separate kramim. So that's exactly what a karakat hakerem was, either between two kramim, or three kramim, or four kramim, as we said it before. So if that's the case, according to him, it would offer the same shear like Beit Hillel 16 or like Beit Shammai 24. So how does a Tamar, when you say such a thing, so V'yusar B'sheshes Re, Amar Rav Yonah, how does a Tamar, Kishe'in Hacharatun Mechuvanim? When do you say this? This is Dafka, where the Karatim, that means the root of the Yifanim, are not Mechuvanim. So in other words, they don't look as if they're all planted in one row. So let's say one of them is planted north-south, and the other is planted now northeast or southwest, right? So now we can see that they're planted in different directions. But if they're going to have ima yua choratim mechuvanim, if lamaita they were mechuvan, so then ein hakinami, they would be mamish a karachat hakerem, and there wouldn't be any nafkamina between them. And then it would be indeed osir b'sheshes rei. That would make them osir b'sheshes rei, because that would be truly a karachat hakerem. What would be the difference between them? If I look at them, it just looks like two kramim on either side. That was the case of karachat hakerem. It's different how it started off. So when we would say that the area between the kerem and the getter is a mechol hakerem, that is only if we have chavisha. In other words, if we have the getter all around it on the four sides, that I understand. What would be the din? In other words, we've already established that when it comes to the din of karachat hakerem, it's okay if the kerem is on two sides. We have a row of vines on the other side. That's still a karachat hakerem. When it comes to din of mechol hakerem, you said we're talking about a getter that surrounds it. But how about if the getter doesn't surround it on all four sides? Would it be the same as, in other words, enough to delineate it on the two sides? And that's already now giving it the din of a mechol hakerem around it? Well, mimma d'taninu, bein shnei kramim, if he now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says that a mechol hakerem is an area between two kramim, so that means, according to Rabbi Yehuda's kerem, is the equivalent of our Rabbanan, Tanakamas, Gader. It's the same thing. He's just saying that the Gader is not what does it. It's the fact that there's a Karen around it that does it. Well, it's clear according to the Yehuda that the Kramim do not have to be on all four sides. He's saying it's the area between two Kramim. So that means even if it's only from the south and from the north, from the east and the west, that's also considered to be a Mechol HaKerem. So that means Vashitatenu, according to us, it should be the same thing. If we have a getter on the south and the north, or we have a getter on the east and the west. But we do not have a getter on all four sides. It still, nonetheless, would be considered a mechol hakerem, lechora. And when you say that, okay, so fine. You're saying a few from one, meaning one direction, not from both directions. Is it achi mukav getter kol oto aruach? When you are cholish, does the fence have to run along the entire kerem on that particular side where it is, on the two sides that it is, or is it like just a graphical indicator? Because now that you're saying that the other two sides don't need a getter, so maybe the getter is sort of like it's almost like edges or something. It's just pointing out the edge, and then your brain can fill in the rest. So maybe if the kerem is 50 amas long, it only has to be 10 amas or something like that. How far does that have to go? So is it Ashi Mukap Geder Kolot HaRuach? Well, that too, we can derive from the following. Nashmina Min Hada. The Omer Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yossi, B'Shem Rav Matna, says that Ein Zanav LeKerem Gadol, so if you have a very large Kerem, let's say that we start off with three rows, the Kerem Gadol is defined later on, so it's three rows of three Yefanim apiece. And then, and the Kerem Kotzim is the two rows of three. Okay? But nonetheless, if you have two rows of two and only one additional one, which makes it another row of three, so then we look at it as if, because graphically it's as if we have a three and a three, which is the smallest size of a Kerem, because the brain essentially sees a pattern, two, two, and then it sees the bottom of the other one, so it fills it in as two, right? Okay, so we're willing to say echad yotzei zanav, that a tail sticking out fills in the other one as if it was planted parallel to that zanav. Okay, so and that's not a that halacha as we see now. So therefore, the same halacha we would say is if we're going to be marked now. We have to be marking, of course, Arba Amis from a Kerem as opposed to six boxes from a single vine. So the question over here is that when it comes to Harchaka, Arba Amis, it's now no longer sufficient to be marking Arba Amis from the actual plant because we're pretending that there's another plant on the other side, right? Rather, what you would need to do is we pretend that the area opposite the zanav is also planted. And we extend the kerem out in our mind so that it's one rectangle. And once it's one rectangle, you have to be marking Arba Amis from the whole thing. But once you have the shear of the kerem, so now you already have, let's say, a full shear of 9 yifanim. Let's say you would have 10 yifanim, three rows now of three, and one sticking out. There's no din of echad yotzei zanav on a kerem gadol. And from that point, the Arba Amis is shaped according to the actual shape. So Arba Amis is only from the one that extends, and we don't create an additional two to stick out now on the other side. Okay? This is meaning Ein Zanav LeKerem Gadol, meaning that if something is sticking out, it's not Mechayev us in a Kerem Gadol. Where are we here? Oh, so we went too far? Somehow I got the problem.